Today on Compassion Radio.
It was a marriage that was in disarray. It was a mess. God restored that. Then they were able to embrace Jesus into the midst of their marriage, which enabled them to embrace Shahzad back into their home.
So a family is restored because of God's pursuit through you and your husband. Now, of course, when he sets you on a trek like this, a Ulysses-type journey to conquer death itself, you're telling me that you and your husband were transformed by this journey. And I'm guessing that the story that's going to come next is going to be one of how that transformation in you has now played itself forward into many other lives.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, from time to time, Bram will feature a guest who does Christian ministry in an area of the world where it is illegal to do so. In fact, it is so dangerous that Bram has to assign alternate names to the people and places involved in order to ensure their safety. Today, you're going to hear the incredible stories of a brave servant of the Lord who's willing to lay it all on the line for the sake of the gospel. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
Friends, on Compassion Radio today, I would like to introduce you to a very important friend to the ministry. Now, we've altered her voice, and we've given her a pseudonym today because of the operational security issues in the part of the world in which she works. We'll be talking generally about the countries, but also specifically about certain stories, also by pseudonym, of people who are doing some incredible work on the ground in countries that we have ministered in before. So I would like to introduce to the program and welcome today, Sarah. Sarah, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Now, you and your husband are born and raised South Asia, and you're very active in a nationwide and region-wide discipleship ministry, which would seem like pretty risky business right now. So tell me a little bit about the Discipleship Institute, which we're going to call the Omid Institute, which means hope.
Thank you, Bram, for the opportunity to be able to talk to you and share with you what is going on in my part of the world. My husband and I are in this ministry called, as you said, the Omid Discipleship Institute. And there's a reason we have to operate under pseudonyms, because discipleship is seen as an active work similar to evangelism. That's frowned upon. It's looked upon with hostility by the majority religious communities of South Asia, whether it's Hindus or whether it's Muslims. So the Omid Discipleship Institute is based on hope, the hope that we have in Christ. And it is the hope to bring the gospel to not just young people, but people across South Asia and share with them the truth of Jesus. Hmm. We felt this call to start this ministry. Since 2006, we had already been reaching out into the lives of young people. But in 2011, my husband and I were taken on an extraordinary journey to do with a young man who had lost his way. He had been a prayer partner and had suddenly, blink of an eye, had lost his way. Hmm. He had lost his faith. He started to dabble in the occult. He became addicted to substances that were destroying his mind. He left home, started to live on the streets. And my husband and I were called by the Lord to go and look for him. And we began to ask the Lord this question: how could someone who loved you and had experienced your touch in his life and was a child of prayer, how could he lose his way and head straight into this deep darkness?
Of course, we need to be very circumspect about this person's identity, but we're going to identify him by a pseudonym today. So as we refer to him, people who are listening will understand the continuity of the story. What shall we call this young man?
Let's call him Shahzad.
So Shahzad is somebody that, as far as you knew, was walking with the Lord, was following him, and then suddenly his life just exploded. And by the time you find him, he is addicted, he's dabbling in the occult, he's run very far from Jesus. Was there any hope for Shahzad?
It looked like there wasn't. Shahzad had shamed his family. He had disappointed his father. His relationship with his father was already in ruins, and this just took it to a whole other level.
Now, explain why his relationship with his father was in ruins. Is it because of his professed faith or something else?
No, it wasn't because of his professed faith. In fact, his father was deeply involved with the church, But there was this sense of honor and shame within which the family was functioning. His father was very much in charge and in control and hadn't had much time to show Shahzad any love. And so Shahzad had grown up in this family where we're done right, but not necessarily in a spirit of knowing who Christ was. They spoke the language, they walked the walk, but there wasn't this sense of a deep relationship with Jesus, which Shahzad had been experiencing. He had been reaching out for a deeper relationship with Jesus, but there was this problem of a relationship at home.
Now, we talk about problems with father relationships. In the West, we might call that the father wound. It's a psychological term for not connecting with the father in a loving way and how it taints so many other expectations of what God might be like, because we always hear him proclaimed as being a good father. Mm-hmm. Now, in Shahzad's life, this honor culture was not really about honor. We think about honor in the West being something about earning the right to have moral authority in a situation because your reputation is such that you are an honest man. Now, honor and shame are really different concepts in that part of the world. Can you explain the difference to us?
It's a lot more complex, to be honest, to be able to unfold that right now. But the simplest way for me to translate that is that the honor context is one in which what you are seen to be is more important than what you are really able to be.
The reputation issue.
And your honor is based, there are certain rules which are set by an honor culture, which include your morality, your ethics, your perceived religiosity. And if you are able to tick those boxes, your honor is intact.
I see.
But it is entirely a work of your own doing, which does not require the intervention of God who sacrifices himself on your behalf.
So we have a culture then that is shame-based, really, because if you are shamed, then of course you've lost your honor. And if you've lost your honor, you've lost everything in society because there's no room for grace or forgiveness. So we are talking about a very countercultural understanding that the gospel brings to that part of the world. And it's important for us in the West to understand that these terms are very weighty in those cultures and that the way out of them is very counterintuitive. Experiencing the forgiveness of Christ and the liberation, and at the same time acknowledging the sins that led us to the point of repentance and pursuing God's forgiveness, as being liberating in a culture where there is no liberation from your past.
And at the same time, Ram, it's very important for Christians in the West to understand that there are no stereotypes. That the people who are living by an honor-shame culture during the day, in the dead of night, they are searching their hearts. They are tossing and turning in their beds, and they are asking God. They are crying out and saying, something's wrong because I cannot bear this burden on my own.
And that's important to know. We talk about our conscience being pricked and about the conviction that comes upon us. So you're saying that this conviction to sin, I'm responsible for this, that I'm not right with God, is something that is universal.
Yes.
Okay, so let's take it back to the story of Shahzad. He has gone so far as to dishonor his father somehow. And so what little thread of relationship was there between him and his father is now broken, and how the shame is pouring in on him. And he abandons the faith and he runs away. And you go in pursuit of him. Tell me about that pursuit.
Well, he didn't just leave his parents' home and his parents' city. He went to another country. My husband and I felt very strongly that God was saying, go and look for him. And we didn't think we had contact in his new location. We didn't even know exactly where he was. We could just kind of trace him through Facebook posts and through old friends who had glimpsed him, or somewhere where he turned up for a meal, or just these breadcrumbs of information that we started to go after. And it was an absolute journey of faith, not knowing how we were going to join these dots and how God provided, not just in terms of wisdom and not just in terms of information, but also giving us the very provisions we needed to get to places and to stay in people's homes. People were very generous, opening their homes to us, knowing full well that if we found this person, the person we would be bringing back to their home that night would be someone in a mess. And yet willing to open their homes. When we found Shahzad, the very first thing Shahzad did when he saw us, he could not believe that we had come looking for him. He was a mess. He looked only a shadow of the person we had known before. He had not showered in months. He had probably not been eating very well, probably spending most of any income that he received from begging on his drugs. But when he saw us in the dead of night in a street in another country, he was absolutely amazed. It was words fail me, to be very honest with you, when I think of that moment that we set eyes on him in that street that night.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram.
Friends, I'm going to ask you for something special this month. If you are at all able, and you want to be part of what God is doing around the world through Compassion Radio and its partners, would you dig deep and give as generously as you can this month? I ask for two important reasons. First, we need to take care of our responsibilities to our wonderful broadcast partners. Now, that means the station you're hearing us on right now. Now, I know it should be obvious, but we need to mention it from time to time. If this station didn't exist, you wouldn't be hearing us. And these stations welcome us on the air because they believe in us and because they believe you will want to support the work we do. Secondly, we will be debuting something brand new next month that is, frankly, a huge answer to prayer for us. And it will enable us together with you to give like never before to Great Commission work. But we've got to start with a clean slate, and we're coming off a very lean summer. We can get back to our baseline budget quickly if you'll simply stop for a moment and send a gift today. Can I count on you to make October a special time for Compassion Radio? While you pray about that, know that we're praying for you, that the Lord will bless and increase your capacity to live and give for Him in the days ahead. God bless you all, friends, and let me hear from you today.
If you'd like to partner with Compassion Radio, you can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com. If you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Now, this is obviously a prodigal story. You were kind of the surrogate spiritual father and mother for this Shahzad. In your pursuit of him, you went way past the end of the driveway. And so in that regard, I see you as being a combination of the Good Samaritan and the Good Father. You went way out of your way to go find somebody. You have an ownership, you have an investment, and God said, go find him. That to me is extraordinary because it's not just about being welcoming to those who have sinned in the past and helping them to reach grace that allows them to change, but being willing to go to the gates of hell to find somebody. You did that. So now you have him in the house. What was the transformation like, or did it happen very quickly?
It took a very long time. It did not happen quickly. We had to do a lot of praying, a lot of fasting, a lot of waiting before the Lord for every step. From the very moment that the Lord spoke to my husband and I, we were in different cities when the Lord spoke to us. Every step was supernaturally crafted by the hand of God.
Which tells me that God was himself very eager to find Shahzad.
It does. It is what encouraged our hearts and made us constantly conscious of the fact that we were on God's business.
You're learning an important lesson about following God's leading, that he has a plan there, and there are no guarantees when you jump into his plan that it's going to play out the way you expect.
Absolutely none. We went with a bank account that was almost empty, and we didn't have the resources that a project like that should have taken. But we did have them because we stepped out in faith, and every step of the way, he just provided. And when we brought Shahzad home, we were staying in a pastor's home that night. That pastor had a young daughter. We knew that culturally this could be a problem.
Yes.
However, the generosity of this pastor and his wife, we will never forget it, that they opened their home and they allowed us to stay there. They allowed Shahzad to stay there that night. And Shahzad didn't sleep much that night, neither did we. It was a night that was wrought with all kinds of emotions and prayers. But we did a lot of praying and fasting the days after that. That was my husband and myself, whereas Shahzad, we ensured that he was eating well because we didn't know what the journey ahead would look like, and we wanted to make sure that he was nourished. We thought about the fact that Jesus ate with people, and that was important to share in incarnational ministry, and that was to break bread with him.
Yes.
He was very resistant, not to prayer. He was happy to receive prayer, but he was resistant to Christianity. He was resistant to Jesus.
Yes.
Because his drugs had made him delusional. He believed that he had already met with Jesus and in some ways had taken on some of Jesus onto his own personality. It was a very complex part of his journey.
Which, Sarah, sounds like it's profoundly demonic in its roots. And obviously he's been getting tormented by different spirits, because if a spirit will not allow the individual to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, then obviously there's resistance there on a spiritual level.
Precisely. We experienced this and we could see the fingerprints of the devil all over this. We could see how the enemy had pursued this life. And it was almost like an image out of the Psalms. There was this person being pursued by wolves, being destroyed. We could see this image of destruction before our very eyes, and we could see that it was for this that Jesus went to the cross, and for this that Jesus wanted to reach out and rescue Shahzad from this horrible place that he was in. It was hard for us because we could not say to Shahzad, your dad wants you home.
Yes.
And that is what ultimately he wanted to hear. But we could say to him that your heavenly father wants you home. And we focused on that. We ensured before we went out, we had prayer warriors praying for us, people who were surrounding us in prayer day and night, because we knew that we could not step out on a journey of this magnitude without the church praying for us.
Yes. So your church at home in another country even probably didn't have a whole lot of communication with them during these times too.
No, we didn't. We didn't. I would try to make a Facebook update in a prayer group every night if we could. But more than anything else, I knew they were praying. More than anything else, I realized the need for my Bible. Mm. I realized how much we relied every step. We grew up in South Asia. We grew up Christian in South Asia, which is already to be frowned upon.
Yes.
And we have already learned at this point the importance of our Bible. But here we are in a whole new situation. This is not about necessarily the torment of being persecuted. This is about someone's soul who has known about Jesus, has seen the truth, and yet because he did not connect with Jesus through the word of God, and he took his faith for granted, the enemy was able to come in and destroy a house that was being built on sand.
Hmm. Important lesson there, and one that's obviously an archetype within the scriptures, foundations. in that part of the world, and I've seen it myself quite a bit, that the territorialism of the spiritual realm, the principalities and powers of the air, seem to have manifestations that are very, very present. It's hard to escape that in this certain alley or down this street, something's going on in the heavenlies. Your spirit senses it. And he chose an alley to walk down that led to, for the time being, destruction. But you're talking about a savior here that's not just about bringing people home. You're talking about a savior of resurrection. Somebody can bring back to life that which is dead. And so Shahzad was dead to you and to the church and to his family. And probably at that point, his family wanted to have nothing to do with him. Jesus did. So tell me more about that journey home.
Well, his mother and his sisters and his brother were very keen for him to be brought home safe. But they knew that if he came home, he wasn't going to be happy because his father would reject him again. His father would not make him welcome. And the journey home, it was very erratic. We had to make several trips back and forth to visit with him. He would disappear again and go back to the street. Eventually, it took prayer and ministry to his father, concerted prayer, ongoing prayer, fasting, reading the scriptures, praying scripture over that family. And his father agreed to come out with us and find him.
Wow.
That took more than a couple of years, but he eventually did. He came out and found him, and his heart was softened by the Holy Spirit. And we did not see, we kept praying and we kept looking and we kept asking the Lord, we want to see Shahzad stand again and say and proclaim that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
But God was crafting the story in a different way. He wanted us to be praying also for the father so that the Lord would turn the father's heart to his son.
So if we were to recast the story as the Bible tells it, this is the story of the prodigal father.
Yes. And so the father comes and the father and the mother's relationship is restored. Love is brought back into the parental relationship, and then they are able to embrace the son back. And then Shahzad was able to go back home. God wanted to do this differently. God wanted to work in every life in that family. Shahzad became the face that was used to draw us into it. But the problem was right across this family. The problem was reconciliation of a relationship between Shahzad's father and God, the reconciliation of the relationship between Shahzad's parents, the reconciliation between Shahzad's parents and their children. It was multi-layered, and God wanted to do that. And the way to do that was through the reading of scripture and the praying of prayers in faith and the coming together of community to pray. And we learned so many things on that journey. So God restored the marriage of Shahzad's parents. It was a marriage that was in disarray. It was a mess. God restored that. Then they were able to embrace Jesus into the midst of their marriage, which enabled them to embrace Shahzad back into their home.
So a family is restored because of God's pursuit through you and your husband. Now, of course, when he sets you on a trek like this, a Ulysses-type journey to conquer death itself, you're telling me that you and your husband were transformed by this journey. And I'm guessing that the story that's going to come next is going to be one of how that transformation in you has now played itself forward into many other lives. Now, we need to roll over to the next program to capture that story. So I'm going to bid adieu to Sarah today, but please, friends, be back for our next program because you're going to hear some incredible things that flowed out of this story of God pursuing Sarah and her husband in a way that helped pursue Shahzad in a way that brought him in reconciliation to his father and his mother and his family, but also brought the family back together, which created a new testimony of reconciliation and new life in a family that God was going to use in the future. It's an incredible story, and I want you to hear all of it. So please come back and join us again. Sarah, thank you for joining us today on Compassion Radio.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.